Welcome back. It's getting brighter. The light is shining brighter and brighter. So thus did Noah, Genesis 6:22, according to all that God commanded him to do.
He did it.
He did it. Yes,
that
sir.
Is righteousness.
Amen.
And that's why 100 years later.
Yes, 100 years later in chapter 7, verse 1.
Yes.
And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me.
What made him righteous? He obeyed.
Amen.
In preparing the ark.
Hallelujah.
According to the due
order. According to the divine instruction.
According to the divine order.
Amen.
The divine instruction. He didn't add, he didn't subtract.
Surprise. Amen.
And he was found righteous.
Hallelujah.
Okay, the same thing with Lot.
Amen.
Now, Lot received grace. When those three angels came to Sodom and then told him, get out, get out. We have come to destroy
Sodom.
But, you know, you get out. You see, that is grace. He knew that the city was going to be destroyed. Nobody else knew. That is grace. That is the grace that bringeth salvation. Okay. Now, but he was asked to leave. Now, himself and his wife and his two children, they were to leave. That is the instruction. They have found grace. In that they knew destruction was coming up. They were even told to move out, and they moved out. But they did not reach the place of safety. Before they could reach the place of safety, the woman turned back, his wife, and she became a pillar of salt. So she didn't make it. She fell from grace. So it's not enough that you have to say, I give my life to Christ, I went for water baptism. That is not enough.
Sir, it's like you've just answered a question that a lot of these opponent of eternal security have. They're against eternal security because they feel once you say you are saved, you are forever saved. But at what point are you eternally saved?
That is exactly what we're saying. Until Noah entered the ark. Once he has entered the ark, nothing more could affect him.
Amen.
Not when he was preparing the
ark.
Not even that God promised him. Because every promise goes with a condition. And if you don't fulfill the condition, you are finished.
Amen and amen.
But if the condition is fulfilled, you are eternally saved. You see, then another character is Rahab. Only Rahab knew that the city was going to be destroyed. That's grace.
Amen.
Then she was told what to do to escape. If she did not put the red thread, scarlet thread by her window, that particular window, that particular color, that is righteousness.
Amen.
If they didn't put it, then what has her knowledge of the destruction of Jericho? How has it profited her? If Noah did not prepare the ark and obeyed enter, the day he was told enter, then the knowledge of the destruction that is coming upon the earth, how has it profited him? The same thing also Rahab. How will it have profited her? And so, and on and on like that, the grace that bringeth salvation. So if you are not able to follow it fully, then you stop wherever a grace that grace has taken you to. You have fallen out of grace if you didn't get
to the promised land.
To the promised land.
Sir, before you go to the next, I want you to
remember that the Bible says we should not be hearers only. We are supposed to be doers. Very important.
Amen.
You've had the revelation. There's something you have to do as a result of the revelation.
How do you bring in Philippians 2:13? Continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Is that the scripture?
Continue. Oh, Philippians 2:12. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Philippians 2:12.
Thank you very much.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Now, Lot was asked to move out. Don't look back.
Yes, sir.
But as he's moving, he's hearing noise at the back. There is the temptation to look back, but he will remember the warning. That is the fear. Let me not disobey. Let me not disobey. Especially when he's not seeing his wife following again, she may have looked back. That is the fear. should be careful, you know, so that you don't disobey. You don't fall out, because you know if that happens, you won't get there. You will fall from grace.
Mm. That is, and if you fall truth. From grace, no pardon.
No pardon, because
you've lost salvation.
Because how else? Who will save Noah when the water is already on him?
Mm.
Who will save Lot when she has a lost wife, when she has turned to pillar of
salt?
Who will have saved Rahab if she did not put it up? Because it will not be those two spies that will have come.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been other soldiers.
Yes, sir.
Who don't know her. Oh, the only thing is, they look out, when I see the blood, I pass over.
Amen.
If you don't apply that blood, you see, that is another grace. I said there are many more, you know, that needed salvation. Firstborn will be destroyed in the land of Israel. That is revelation. The Egyptian didn't know about
that's it. Right.
Other firstborn didn't know about
that's
it.
Right.
That is grace.
Mm.
And but there is something you're supposed to do.
Amen.
That will give you salvation. Apply the blood.
Mm.
If you don't apply the blood, the angel of death will kill you. Because what he's looking at is no use, the blood, the token.
Mm.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Wow. Okay, so what will be the third sin unto death?
The third sin unto death. I think I put it this way. I put it turning the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Mm. Turning the grace of
turning
God.
How
do you do that, sir?
And I quickly want to add this. Before I go to the third work of grace, you know, always take note. The purpose of this topic is that Apostle Paul, to heed what Apostle Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Mm.
It's very important.
Yes, sir.
Very, very important. That is the whole purpose for this rapture
study.
Watch. We're talking about rapture watch.
Yes, sir.
Now, maybe read it from verse 1.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1.
Read it.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and finally one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
So you can see the things that they got themselves involved in the journey to the promised land from Egypt.
Amen.
You see, that read on.
Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples.
For what?
Examples.
Example to who?
And they are written for our admonition.
For our admonishment.
Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
So walk out of fear and
trembling.
Fear your salvation with fear and trembling. You can see now, because he who thinks he stand,
take heed
lest you fall. So you can balance these two scriptures now. Now, why did they not make it? He said, because of unbelief.
Mm.
What do you mean by unbelief, Pastor Moses? They're already believers now. They have left Egypt.
Okay.
But they left Egypt with their legs, not with their heart.
Mm.
Their hearts were still in Egypt. Because, watch it here, who are those that will not enter the kingdom of heaven? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
Verse 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
You see, they cannot enter, but they took off. It's not talking about unbelievers, drunkards in the beer parlor. Those who found grace, but righteousness was missing.
Mm.
Now, how do we know? Because Titus chapter 2, verse 11, before we come back here and continue.
Yes, sir. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
That what?
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously.
We are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts.
Mm.
So you cannot, that's why he said, shall we, in Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace will abound?
God forbid.
What did he say?
God forbid.
That's Romans chapter 6.
Romans 6:1.
You know, shall we continue? So you know, grace, you know, when you say unbelief. Now, so go back to 1 Corinthians chapter
9.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Know you not that the righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
I have named them.
Be not deceived. Mm-hmm. Neither fornicators, nor
idolaters,
nor
adulterers,
nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves to mankind, nor thieves.
Now, can I emphasize this verse 9 and verse 10?
Yes, sir.
What he's saying, all these things he's listing, if you are involved in them after you have found the grace and escaped the grace, knowing that destruction is coming, get out of sin, get out of the worldly lifestyle, and you still get yourself involved in such things, you are falling out of grace.
Mm.
That is sin unto death, because that involving yourself in it will never take you to the promised land.
Mm.
So mention them.
Let me start again.
Yes.
Be not deceived, neither fornicators,
yes,
nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves to mankind,
mm-hmm,
nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, mm-hmm, shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Then he added in verse 11.
And such were some of you.
That is what we were before.
But ye are washed.
Now we are supposed to be washed.
But ye are sanctified.
We are supposed to be sanctified.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So how will you again be involved in that?
Mm.
So that is why in Hebrews chapter 4,
mm-hmm, yes, sir,
if you read it from verse 1 to 11, it said they did not make it to the promised land because of unbelief.
Mm.
But they left Egypt, yet they did not believe that there's even an existence of a promised land.
Mm.
They left with their labor, their hearts were still in cucumber and garlic. Mm. They left, their heart was still full of idols from Egypt that they had been used to for the past 400 years, which God was separating them from. How do we know? As soon as Moses departed, what happened? They went back to the idolatry, built a calf. Aaron said, behold your gods.
Mm.
And they worshiped, and God swore, none of those
shall make it to the promised land.
Take note, Moses prayed.
Mm.
But such is a sin unto death.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't bother to pray, because they have committed it. They will never make the promised land. No matter how Moses prayed, none of that generation made it to the promised land. That is the reason he used 40 good years to be judged all of them, some through war, some through this, some through all of them.
Wiped off. And sir, under what sin unto death is this? Is this the third one?
No, that is falling from grace.
Is this still under falling from grace?
Yeah, still the second one.
Wow.
That's the second one. Still continuation. You know, I just wanted to elaborate more,
okay,
more on that. And when we talk about Lot's wife,
mm-hmm,
you know, this thing is interesting. You know, that we take our Bible and write those things. Those that do this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why he said that he that is born of God does not commit sin. You can't live this type of life if you are truly born again. Because the word of God dwells in you. It checks you.
Hmm.
You see? Now, one group that I pity the most are this group that we call the end-time message believers.
Hmm.
Anytime you say, remember Lot's wife, they are the ones that come to my mind.
Why, sir?
Because they had the message.
Mm.
They came out. And they are still involved in idolatry. Mm.
They
are worshipping William Branham.
Mm.
They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They have torn away, thrown away the Bible. They are now holding onto a man, putting his pictures everywhere, singing him more than the Savior. You know, and they are another Lot's wife. The truth is, they turn back
to Egypt.
To Egypt, what they have been delivered from.
Mm.
And it's important that you note that not all that left Sodom made it to escape.
Yes,
not
sir.
All that left
Egypt
also made it to the promised
land.
And not all that caught the end time message that will make it. It is just the pattern.
Hmm.
Mixed multitude.
Wow.
Mixed multitude.
Hmm.
It's very important so that you will understand Hebrews chapter 6.
Hebrews 6, yes,
falling
sir.
From grace.
Hmm.
From verse 4.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened
yes.
and have tasted of the enveloping gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost
mm-hmm.
and have tasted the good word of God
uh-huh.
and the powers of the world to come,
mm-hmm.
if they shall fall away.
You have tasted all this, yet you fall away.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
They shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance.
It is impossible to renew them. That's what the scripture is saying. It is impossible. Sin unto death.
Hmm.
It's impossible to do what?
Renew them again unto repentance.
Why?
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh.
You see?
And put him to an open shame.
That, so take note of these scriptures are very weighty scriptures. That's why in Luke chapter 6, chapter 9, verse 62.
Luke 9, 62.
That statement that the Lord.
And Jesus said unto him,
yes?
No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, mm-hmm. is fit for the kingdom of God.
You are not fit. Once you made a decision to follow Christ, pick up your cross and follow. No, that no reason should you look back to your former estate. Never you do that. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
From verse 26.
For if you sin willfully.
After
that we have received the knowledge of the truth.
That is what Hebrews chapter 6 is talking about.
There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
No more.
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation.
Now, which shall come upon
which shall devour the adversaries.
Now, verse 38.
Now, the just shall live by faith.
Now, the just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back,
uh-huh.
my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Uh-huh.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
We are not of them that draw back unto perdition.
But of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Because our calling is for salvation, to the saving of the soul. Mm. So we cannot draw back again
Amen.
And then be lost.
Amen.
We shouldn't. We shouldn't.
Mm.
You have to allow God to finish his work in you. But let me use this opportunity also to put a difference between, a besetting sin
okay.
and a falling from grace.
Mm.
Now, in Hebrews chapter 12.
Yes, sir. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed
about verse 1, yes.
Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight
uh-huh.
and the sin which does so easily beset us.
Uh-huh.
And let us run with patience the race that is set
before
us.
So there is a besetting sin.
Mm.
That is the besetting sin
mm.
which is backsliding.
Mm.
Now, when you talk of backsliding, you can pray for someone. That is the sin that when you
okay.
see your brother, say, confess your sin one to another.
Yes, sir.
When you see your brother sin not unto me, that
death.
Is just backslid.
Mm.
And I say backslid, it's not that you go back to your vomit.
Okay.
Backslid is those things that you used to do that you stopped doing. The fire that you have is no more there.
Mm.
You used to you used to go out on evangelism every day. Suddenly something happened, you don't go anymore. You used to fast, intercede, because God loves intercessors. Keeps his work going. You stopped it. There are things you used to do. All of a sudden, even prayers. You used to pray for 3 hours every day. Now you hardly pray for 2 hours. You are backsliding.
Mm.
And once you backslid, and then you begin to see your flesh, you know, tempting you up and down. And then you cry out.
Mm.
You can be restored.
Amen.
You see? Now, but you won't go back to the estate you were in as unbeliever. You will never reach that stage.
Mm.
That is backslidiness. But, and that person can be restored.
Mm.
But when it is
falling from grace,
falling from grace, you can never be restored. And that is the one you see in Hebrew chapter 6.
Okay.
And also in Hebrew chapter 10. So you have, want to take note of that.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So there's a difference between backsliding and falling from grace.
Exactly.
Okay, sir. The third one, you say it's turning the grace of God into
lasciviousness.
I really want to understand this.
Lasciviousness is unbridled lust. Both sexual lust and material lust. You see? Unbridled. Solomon is an example. One man, 1,000 women for one man. That's lasciviousness. Lost. Ahab lost material thing until he will go and kill somebody to collect his land. And you know, Ahab was never forgiven. You see? Was never forgiven. Everything about him was wiped off, including his 70 children. God, what the remembrance of Ahab should not be at all for that. That's
true.
Sin. Sin unto death.
Mm.
You saw how Samson ended up. That is sin unto death. You see? 1 Timothy chapter 6.
1 Timothy chapter 6.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And he said, maybe where is that? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. I picked it from Jude.
Okay, sir.
Jude. From verse 3 to 7. Maybe let's read it first.
All right. Jude chapter 1 from verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Jude verse 3 to 7. Yes.
Yes, sir. For there are certain men crept in unawares,
uh-huh,
who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Uh-huh.
Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness.
What were they doing? They were turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness.
And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
So that is where I borrowed that. You know, they turned the grace of God unto lasciviousness. And that is the estate of the Laodicean church age.
Wow.
If you open Revelation chapter 3.
Yes, sir. Revelation 3 from verse 14.
Yes.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans.
See their estate.
Right. This sincere the Amen,
uh-huh,
the faithful and true witness, uh-huh, the beginning of the creation of God.
Uh-huh.
I know thy works.
I know thy works.
That thou art neither cold nor hot.
Uh-huh.
I would thou art cold or hot.
Uh-huh.
So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot,
you see,
I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Now see why they are lukewarm.
Because
they are spewed out. What is spewed out? No more fellowship. You are rejected. Sin unto death. You are rejected. What does it say?
Because thou sayest, I am rich.
This is the reason why they are lukewarm.
I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not.
But what is their condition spiritually?
That thou art wretched.
Wretched.
And miserable.
Miserable.
And poor.
And Laodicean churches is this age that we are in now, the seventh church age.
And poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire.
Okay.
That thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear.
Even in this age, mercy is still offered to them.
Amen.
And they showing them a way out.
Amen.
But see what is, go ahead.
And anoint thy eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see.
Uh-huh.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Uh-huh.
Be zealous therefore and repent.
Now watch their condition.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Now he's standing at the door. That means they have pushed him out.
Mm.
This is the age where he's pushed out.
If any man hear my voice,
yes,
and open the door,
eh?
I will come into him and we sup with him.
This is the age now where God now has to deal with us as individuals.
Wow.
There's no more any greater move anywhere because the age generally has rejected him. And what is the result? They're spewed out. No more fellowship. And so, what is the reason? 1 Timothy chapter 6,
verse 8 to 10. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Mm-hmm.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts.
You see, those who will be pursuing riches. That is turning the grace of God to lasciviousness.
Which drown men in destruction and perdition.
And what are they using? They are using the gospel of salvation to be making money. That's it. That is it, nothing more. That is the grace we have. That grace flowed through the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
But you're not turning it into lasciviousness. And that is why you see people now, you know, everything in the gospel, they sell anointing oil, sell anointing water, sell this, sell that. They write books, you know, the epistles. Oh, God will help us.
Amen.
God will help us.
Amen.
People sing to make money.
Mm.
They call a gospel artist. Nobody does anything now for free. It's a material acquisition. Hear the testimonies. You don't hear testimony that I've received the Holy Ghost. I met with Christ. He came, an experience that had changed me. It's, I have finished my house. I have bought my jet. I have bought, built my this. I have gotten this car. I have this. See their testimony. Nothing but materialism. Go on.
Verse 10. For the love of money is
it
the
is
root
the
of all
love
evil.
Of money.
Which was some coveted after, they have erred from the faith.
Yes.
And pierced themselves through.
When you err from the faith, you have gone off. Where will you go? You have removed, you have changed your route now. And that is why Christ in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, that's why he made that statement, 13 and 14.
Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate.
Yes.
For wide is the gate.
Wide is the gate.
And broad is the way
that
leadeth to destruction.
You see?
And many there be which go in thereat.
Okay, now.
Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life.
And few
there be that find
now,
it.
Now, so you can see. Now, go back to verse 10 again of 1 Timothy chapter 6.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which was some coveted after.
What happened to them?
They have erred from the faith.
They have erred from the faith.
And pierced themselves through with many
So souls. When you err from the faith, you have shifted to the straight gate and you went to the wide gate. You see, wide gate. And that way you are going, when you stray from that faith, you are going to destruction, sin unto death. You see? So that you understand why Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Amen.
You see,
yes,
he made a statement like that. No matter how we preach to them, no matter how we say things, verse 1, 2, 3, 4.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be
if this thing we have been talking is hidden,
it is hid to them that are lost.
They are lost.
In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of
can
them which believe not.
And it is materialism. Lasciviousness. They are blinding them, their minds.
Of them which believe not.
Yes.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
And this group of people he's talking are people who have found the grace. But he said they still call them unbelievers. Just like they left Egypt. Hebrews chapter 4, he said they couldn't make it because of unbelief. They fell in the wilderness. If you believe what you had, you believe in the gospel, if you believe there is a heaven to go to, if you believe there is a cross to carry, if you believe, you know, in the gospel that we preach, you will reflect it in the life that you live. You can't. When the Bible says we kept read on.
Verse 5.
Yes.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord.
Yes.
And ourselves were servants for Jesus' sake.
Yes.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Now, if you go to that same 1 Timothy chapter 6,
yes, sir.
It mentioned that clearly, for we came to this world naked. And it is certain we are living naked.
Verse 7.
Yes.
For we brought nothing into this world.
We brought nothing into this world.
And it is certain we can carry nothing out.
Do you believe this? That's why we say they are unbelievers. When you see a Christian living a life of fornication, living a life of idol worshiping and all those listed there, he's an unbeliever. When the Bible says those who do that will go to hell, they will not make it. And he's still living that type of life. That is heaven. He doesn't believe that there's a heaven. That is why he's acquiring and acquiring and acquiring, do or die. But godliness with contentment.
Verse 6. Yes. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
It is contentment. Have all these things in moderation. What you need, and not to kill yourself over these things that can make you err from the faith, sin unto death. And that is why 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, he made this statement in advising us.
1 Corinthians 10, 6. Now, these things were our examples.
Yes.
To the intent we should not lust after evil things.
We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And you saw the effect, what happened in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, and far from verse 4, read it up to the end there. You saw what happened in the matter of the quails. They would not be satisfied with the manna. They wanted flesh. So God gave them quails until it was coming out of their
nostrils
and destroyed them with it. And that is the sin unto death.
Yes. Wow. Thank you so
much. He said, should we continue in sin?
That grace may abound. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So when a Christian become material-minded, materialistic.
Materialistic, lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness.
Yes, unbridled lust. They will not come to church
sensuality.
Because of business. I can't close my shop now. I can't close my shop. I can't go to church today. I have meeting. I can't do this. You see them. When you see people possessed with this spirit, you pity them. All their life, acquire and acquire, until God gave us an example of Solomon. Solomon at the end, he says, all vanity. He said, of all the things you acquire on earth, the only one that benefits you, the acquirer, is the one that you eat. All the rest, other people that used it. All the rest, if you build a mighty house, it's one small spot on your bed you will sleep on. The remaining one, relations will come and stay, people will come and stay, and everybody else. And the empty rooms, cockroaches and cobwebs will fool there and use it. So what is all that for, that you are killing yourself over? So,
okay, sir, before we go to the fourth one, we'll take a short break to digest these 3 points our pastor has listed so far. The first is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Second, falling from grace. And the third, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And let's digest this and we'll come back. We'll look deeper. We'll be right back.